We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Ka'Chava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
Football on Off the Ball.
All you want to do is just play football, and it's the greatest joy in the world. And then I sometimes get caught up in thinking it's a job.
Of course,
it is a job, but it's really not. It's a game of football at the end of the day. And it's when I'm sitting there and after a bad result or whatever, and then you're like, you know what, this is supposed to be fun.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Now, as you may have heard or seen on Off the Ball, we are very delighted that we are partners with the Olympic Ireland Awards this year. And to kick off our coverage of the awards, I am delighted to be joined in studio this morning by Eve McMahon. Eve, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Obviously, it's been a stellar year for our Olympic athletes in general. It's a really exciting time. But for you, as someone who is on the younger side of the spectrum, who's coming up through things, what does it mean to be involved with this organization and to be nominated for an award?
Yeah, it's such an incredible team that we've had. Because I'm a sailor, sometimes we're a little bit separated from Team Ireland, because we obviously, for example, at the Paris Olympic Games, we were down in Marseille. So when I got to go up to Paris for the opening and closing ceremony, it was kind of my first time integrating with the entire team, and the environment in the Olympic Village with the entire of Team Ireland, with all of the team staff, it was such an amazing privilege. And I've honestly made friends that are lifelong friends. And I think that's something that's really special about the team that we have. We're a small team, we're a mighty team, but everyone is performing at such an incredible level that it's just really nice that every day, you know, you open your Instagram and there's, you know, some gold medal results, and it's pretty incredible to see. So it's amazing to be part of this team, and for the awards coming up as well, it's going to be a really nice evening.
So you're up for the Sport Ireland Rising Star Award, which must be very exciting, and you have a few of your medals in studio, and we'll get to them a little bit later on. But to go through the whole experience of growing up sailing, being so successful at the youth level, now getting to a senior level, starting to get that international recognition, even the national recognition, how has that experience been for you?
Yeah, it's incredible. I was really surprised to be nominated for Rising Star, because like you say, I'm now into the senior fleet, which makes you feel really old, even though I'm only 21.
You're not allowed to say you're older than 21, I'm sorry.
It's like having the category of senior under your name, you're a bit like, huh? But no, it's amazing. And obviously to be up against the two boys, John the swimmer and Patsy the boxer, it's incredible. So I'm just really looking forward to the night. And yeah, sometimes you kind of just forget about all the results that you've had over the past couple of years, and I'm very much so an athlete that I kind of just move on. You know, it's great that I get these results, I work really hard for them, but I kind of just move on to the next ones, and that's kind of what motivates me. I don't really dwell on the past, but it's nice just to have one night to kind of, you know, look at everybody's recognition and to see what you've achieved. It's really special.
So to look at your own journey, for anyone who doesn't know how you started out in sailing, how you got into this world, can you take us through that?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty simple story. I have two older brothers, and they kind of just started, my home club is Howth Yacht Club, and they started just little summer courses in sailing, and they absolutely loved it. And my oldest brother then just started little competitions, and he got on great. And I'm the youngest child, and I just followed through with their footsteps, and I kind of did everything that they did while also doing other sports. But I just loved the freedom of the water since I was like a little girl. And then I just had this dream from a very, very young age of going to the Olympic Games. I obviously had some people to look up to as well. And yeah, it's just been this goal that I've had in my mind, and I obviously got to tick it off for the Paris Olympic Games, but now there's just some different goals now in my mind looking forward for LA. So it's pretty incredible. But even just looking back at how I started sailing and then to where I am now, it's a pretty incredible journey.
How accessible did the Olympics seem in your mind before you got to Paris, and when you were growing up sailing? You know, was it something that seemed very far off, or because of the likes of Adelise that came through the ranks where you're like, no, actually, that's something that I can achieve?
Yeah, I had a really kind of, I was very grateful for the pathway that I had, that at a very, very young age, I started performing really well because I was able to train under Annelise, and we also were teamed up with the Danish Olympic team, and she won gold at the Tokyo Olympics. So I was training under people who were the best of the best, which meant that I performed, I had an amazing performance at a youth level. I kind of had a really big edge on the youth competitors, which then made my breakthrough into the senior fleet a lot easier. So with all of that, plus a lot of hard work, I kind of saw the sights of Paris and I knew that I could get there. I just had to kind of keep my cool because in sailing, there's so many variables that happen. I remember the first Olympic qualifiers for the Paris Games. It was my first ever time trying to qualify Ireland for the Olympics in sailing. So it was obviously a little bit nerve-wracking, but I felt like I had no pressure on myself. But then I got a false start in one of my first races, which meant I had a disqualification, which meant I didn't qualify in the first round of qualifying your nation. So that was like a big wake-up call to me going, oh my goodness, you know, I have to really perform at the next one, which was in Argentina. So there was definitely some big bumps in the road, but they all taught me huge lessons and lessons that I still hold to this day. So I'm very grateful for the journey that it has been.
We spent some time out in Dunleary with Annelise around probably about this time last year, and you know, we were able to get on the water with her, and as someone who did like recreational sailing growing up, it was an incredible experience. But she was talking about all those different variables and how there's only so much a lot of the time that you can control, because weather, how the water is, those are just things that are totally outside of anything you can do. How do you manage that going into competitions and training, and you know, even talking about your experience there and having the disqualification? How do you mentally deal with all that?
Yeah, it's very tough and something that I'm still working on. I don't think anybody can master it in sailing, because like you say, things are always changing, and you're also lining up on a start line with 100 other boats and 100 other people who are making decisions that you can't control in very, very tight spaces. So it's mentally very challenging sport, but I think that's what I love about it the most. You never know. Every day is not the same. Every wave is not the same. Every challenge isn't the same. And something always pops up. And I think that's what makes a sport so interesting. I think to be able to watch sailing at the Olympic Games, it is quite hard sport to understand. But once you grasp it, you know, it's just an amazing kind of race to watch in a way. So it's definitely a big mental challenge and something that I'm still working on. I'm grateful for the support of Sport Ireland, who kind of give you all the tools that you need to kind of get you mentally ready for sailing. It's definitely a sport that a lot of things are out of your control, for sure.
What is it about that you love so much? Because it's obvious talking to you that you really love the unpredictability of it, but is it the challenge mentally, physically? Is it the just general unexpected nature of everything?
Yeah, I think if you sail with me and if you know who I am and the character I am in the water, I'm kind of, I wouldn't say I'm like a troublemaker, but I'm very much so, like, my decisions are like ride or die. You know, I'm fully committed, or, you know, it doesn't go my way at all. And I think a lot of people, I think that's why I would call myself a little bit of an underdog in the fleet, because nobody knows what to expect, because I just make these decisions that either go great, or, you know, I get humbled pretty quickly, but I learn from them. And I think that mindset that I have is a really good mindset for sailing. And I think it's a pretty unique mindset, and I don't, I don't take things for granted, but I also work really hard. So I think that's why I love it. And yeah, like I say, it's just every day you go out and it's just something completely different. And I think if you overthink sailing, it becomes very, very difficult. And I know, like, a lot of people will say, you know, I'm young and I don't have the experience, but I think that's also, you know, an opportunity for me. I'm able to make the mistakes and learn from them, but I can also make massive gains from it as well. So it's pretty cool.
And for people who maybe aren't massive sailing fans or haven't got into the sport all that much, how would you describe the class of sailing that you're in?
Yeah, so it's actually the women's single-handed Olympic dinghy class. So it's just myself in the boat. And it's a boat that's like a really, really simple boat to sail, but that's what makes it so difficult, because there's not that many things that you can change. So everybody has the same sail, everybody has the same boat, and everybody has the same control lines. So there's very little equipment kind of benefits that you can get out of my boat. So it's all very much so a tactical element. And our course is 50 minutes long, and you line up at a start line. And it's a start line between two marks that are set on the water. And then you race 12 races in total. You do two races a day, and they're 50 minutes long, and you get a little bit of a break, and you have a support boat out there as well. So my coach would be out there, and he would have equipment that would read the wind, and then you'd make a plan. And then as soon as the race starts, you're completely on your own with no kind of coaching help or anything like that, and it's just you, your boat, your sail, and you make your decisions yourself.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
Two races of 50 minutes long, that's like quite a toll on your body, I assume.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we always have to go out in the water about an hour beforehand to get used to the conditions, kind of see what the pattern of the wind is doing, how much it's kind of shifting back and forth. So you're out an hour before, then you do an hour race, and then you've about a 30-minute break. Then there's sometimes a couple of delays, and then you've got another race. And then sometimes if we don't get sailing due to weather, the race committee can schedule 3 races for the next day. So it's definitely a hugely physical sport as well, but I'm very grateful that we have great kind of S&C coaches that kind of make us race ready for it.
So what does an average day for a sailor look like when you're not in the like peak competition time, I suppose?
Yeah, so surprisingly enough, we do a huge amount of cycling, a huge amount, and too much, but we do a lot of endurance-based cycling, so a lot of zone 1, zone 2 cycling, because like you say, it's long days out in the water and you need kind of like a solid engine, and then we just do, so we're doing around 4 cycles a day, 4 cycles a week. A day would be a bit too extreme.
I was like, 4 cycles a day, that's a lot.
And then,
never mind the 2 races a day, the 4 cycles alone.
And then we do 3 gym sessions a week. So it's a pretty stacked week, plus sailing on top of that
and
as well.
And how long would the cycles be?
They vary. So kind of you do interval sessions, which are an hour. And then we do big group rides on Thursdays, which is around 3 hours. Yeah, we actually did a really exciting, because it's our off season at the moment. So our team, I don't know whose crazy idea it was, but we decided to cycle from Dublin to Galway.
Amazing.
Which is 240 kilometers on gravel. It didn't even finish there. We had the next day, then we cycled from Galway to Westport, which was 100 kilometers. So it was a crazy week of cycling. Yeah,
so like,
well, 2 days of cycling.
350K in 2 days.
Yeah, it was mental. It was mental. So,
that's
but it was
incredible.
Good. It was nice that it's our off season, so we were able to do something a little bit more extreme.
And also probably nice to have the camaraderie of doing it with other people, especially if you spend so much time in the boat by yourself, or like maybe your coach is the only other person out there with you. It's probably nice to
yeah,
do that
exactly.
Team
and
element.
my oldest brother is on the team as well, so it's nice that we have each other. So I can kind of confide in him when I'm about to get dropped off the bike.
And so when you're competing and you are spending that time out in the water, and as you said, you had to be there. You might have to be out like an hour before, there might be delays. What's going through your head in that time, you know, mentally trying to keep yourself in the moment, but also dealing with the elements? You're there by yourself. It's not necessarily like you have a teammate that you can turn around to and say, this is what's going on with me right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, especially knowing when to turn off and to kind of keep sharp. For example, where I won my bronze medal for the World Championships, we were in China, and the first 3 days we had no racing. first 4 days we had no racing out of 6 days, and that's like, for me, that's never happened in sailing history, just because that there was no wind at all, and one of the days we had really thick fog. So you kind of go out in the water, but you have to expect to race. But then after 2 or 3 days of no racing, you're kind of thinking, okay, well, I need to give my mind a break instead of trying to stay switched on all of the time. So it's a really difficult balance to know kind of when to kind of be like, okay, I just need to take a break and chat to one of my, you know, international training partners, or just, you know, have a bit of a laugh while the race committee are just waiting for the wind, or just to stay sharp and trying to get every single wind shift to have all the numbers dialed in on your compass. But I think the experience of my coach has been something that's really helped me. You know, he kind of knows, he kind of gives me the go ahead to switch off or to you know, get back in the boat and let's get racing, kind of thing. So he's been an incredible help. He's got so much experience, so I think it's definitely, that's the experience side of sailing that you need, for sure.
And so you've had the experience of one Olympics now, and do you feel that just whets your appetite a little bit more for more competition going forward? Obviously, it's been a great year for you in general since then.
Yeah, no, definitely. The Paris Games was such an incredible experience, and it's like a, you know, something that's ticked off the bucket list, but I'm very much so, I always want more. So to have performed, and I did really well in Paris, I think I could have done better, but, you know, every athlete always says that. So I do want to do better, and obviously that's the next Games in LA in 2028. So we were training there during the summertime, and we had a World Cup there, which I won gold, which was pretty incredible to do that on Olympic waters.
Do you have some of the medals there?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, this one.
Gotta hold it up there and show the camera for anyone that is watching this
on
YouTube.
It's a pretty shiny medal.
It's very nice, actually. It's quite similar to the Olympic ones. When you first brought it in, that was kind of what reminded me of.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So that was a really special medal, because obviously, you know, it gives you a little bit of a boost when you get a gold medal on Olympic waters and you settle into the conditions and it really suits you. But yeah, there's obviously stepping stones to work towards that, but that's definitely the goal in mind, for sure.
And I think you were saying before we started recording that there's competitions in LA pretty much every year up until the next Olympics, so there's a lot of opportunities to get used as you can to the conditions that is going to be in 2028.
Yeah, exactly. So World Sailing they call them like the Sailing Grand Slam Series. So there's events in all these different countries, in Spain and France, and one of them is in LA, which is really cool to have that every year. And everybody goes to it, and it's a really highly attended event because everybody wants to race on the Olympic waters, because obviously it's quite far away in LA. But yeah, it's really cool to have the chance, and we'll go out there again next year during the summertime too, which is cool.
Are there particular conditions that you enjoy sailing in the most? Like, obviously, good wind is what everyone wants. You don't want it to be a windless day. But is there particular waters or a particular part of the world that you like sailing in the most?
I would like to say it's a real boring answer, but I'm definitely an all-round sailor, which is obviously a great thing to be. A lot of people favour certain conditions, but I just love all conditions. Like, I really love the sport. A lot of people would say sailing in Lake Garda, Italy, is their favourite spot. But I honestly have to say Los Angeles. It was the first time I sailed there last year, and it is one of my favourite spots to sail. It is just absolute glamour conditions. You get the sea breeze, which is effect of the heating of the land and the sea, and it causes a really nice wind to come through, and it's a real consistent wind. And it's just, the fastest boat wins the race, so it's a really cool venue to sail in, for sure.
And would you ever consider mixing up your class of sailing a little bit, or going even in like two-person boat?
Yeah, funny you say it, because my dream boat was always a 49er FX. Okay. I always thought that I'd transition into a 49er, which is a double-handed boat, and you trapeze, you're on like hooked into a wire. For anybody who doesn't know sailing, it's a really cool boat. You're hooked into a wire and you're basically kind of trapezing out the boat to keep it flat, and you sail with another person. But I just really glued into the Ilka 6, which is what I sail now. And I thrived in it, so I don't think I'll be making a switch anytime soon. But you never know in the future.
Well, considering all the success that you've had so far, I think you're doing pretty good as it is. You have a couple of other medals there. Do you want to talk us through with the other ones that you have?
Yeah, sure. So the bronze one is obviously from my Worlds, which was in China, which was two days only of racing out of six, which was pretty crazy for sailing world. But we got six races in total, so that was a cool one. And it's kind of like a, I don't know what you call this, like a...
It's almost like a snow globe.
A snow globe thing. It's really, and yeah. I've never seen that in a medal, so that's a really cool one.
Yeah, it's really cool. For anyone that's listening on podcast, it's kind of like the boat is glass around the bronze, and it has like blue sparkly powder.
Yeah,
in it. it's almost like a snow globe, so that whenever you move it, the powder kind of moves around and it looks like the water. It's very clever, I have to say, for a medal.
And then this one is a bit of a weird medal. It's a silver medal, which isn't so silver. but World Sailing had the first ever Grand Slam final. So like I say, we have these Grand Slam events, and the World Sailing for the first time ever did this Grand Slam final, which only invited the top 10 best boats in the world to compete. And it was kind of like a little bit of a trial run to see if they would switch the format for the next Olympic Games. So that was really cool. So I was actually leading the entire event, and then on the last day, unfortunately, I dropped to silver. But still good learnings. And then we finished off our season with the European Championships, and I got a bronze under 23 medal, which is pretty cool. So that's that one, and that was in Sweden, and that was a really cool event to finish off the season.
It's been such a successful time for you, considering how young you are still. How do you handle that? Because I think as a nation, we're probably people that are more comfortable with the we're the underdogs mentality, or, you know, going into things and people not expecting all that much of us. But you're 21 and already there's a lot of expectations, and you're already delivering on those expectations. How do you find that?
Yeah, I think I found it through having a really small but amazing kind of group of friends and family that surround me, and people who I really trust and who I have a lot of respect for, and who I know believe in me. And I think that's what makes, you know, having these massive expectations put on you, you know, you can kind of just, I suppose, block it all out and just have this little bubble of your friends and your family who have really been through the journey with you, through the highs and the lows. But also my coach as well. I only started working with him in January, so he wasn't my coach for the Paris Olympic Games, but he worked with Irish Sailing. He actually coached my brother and the men's team, and he decided to make a switch to the women's team after the Paris Games. And he has been...
Was that inspired by getting the opportunity to work with you, or...?
Never. I don't think he'll ever reveal why he actually switched, but the two of us have gone on like an absolute house on fire. I have a huge amount of respect for him, and I think that's what makes it a lot easier. I really trust in the decisions that he makes for me. He puts in 110%, I put in 110%, and I think, you know, no matter what expectations you have or no matter how much pressure people are putting, when you just have that partnership and, you know, you're just reaching for the stars together, it doesn't really matter what anybody else says.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
And so, obviously, goal is LA gold medal, I assume,
in
the sights, which hopefully we were talking to you in a couple of years' time and you'll have another medal to add to the collection to bring along. But how are you balancing that, I suppose? Because it is a long time out and there is a lot of hurdles to get through. Mentally, how are you dealing with all that?
Yeah, so it is definitely super tricky because, like you say, or suggesting, you never want to peak too early. You kind of want to keep your kind of momentum going the entire time. I'm also doing full-time university at the same time, which has definitely been a challenge, but I really think that's helped. So I'm in my final year of university in UCD, and I think it's just a really great thing to have alongside your sailing or your sporting, for anybody out there, like your sporting kind of ambitions, to have something that's just a complete switch from your sport, and that has been my academics. And it definitely has been stressful at times. Exams are coming up in December, and it's definitely stressful, but something that's just really nice. You know, I come in from a day of training and I'm not overthinking anything because I just have to swap to doing an assignment that's due tomorrow. So that's been really great. And something that I'm really grateful for. So it's really nice timing as well, because hopefully when I finish my degree in May, then there's 2 years on the run up to the Olympic Games, which I think is really nice, because obviously a 4 year Olympic cycle is quite a long time. But when you break it all down, and I actually really have 2 years full time of sailing on the run up to the Games by the time I finish my degree. So it's just really nice timing, I think. So I definitely don't think I've reached my peak yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone thinks you haven't reached your peak yet. I don't think there's any worry about that.
I might be humbled, but hopefully not.
hopefully not. You never know what happens, but hopefully not. It is interesting you say that about the degree, though, because I think, especially for young athletes and maybe athletes as well in sports that don't get the like year-round constant media attention, constant people watching it, knowing that you can be successful and also have something else going on is really, really important. Was that always something that was important to you, or was it kind of inspired by family or friends saying, you know, we know you're going to do incredibly at sailing, but also it's good to have something else to concentrate on as well?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it was definitely something that I always knew I wanted. I always really wanted to have a degree, because I just think, you know, sport isn't your whole life. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to have. It's absolutely amazing to be a high performance athlete. But at the end of the day, it will never be your entire life. You'll always carry memories from it. But I just think it's really important. And also, sport is very cutthroat. You know, you're one injury away from your career ending, as brutal as it sounds. So it's always just nice to have that in the back pocket. But it's also more just the connections that I've made, like being in UCD, being in university. It's just a bit of normality, you know. Sometimes high performance athletes, you're in this bubble of just high performance stress, so it's just really nice to go be a student sometimes, and to be in the university. And I've made some incredible friends and some incredible friends who support me as well. So I think it's a really nice balance to have. I definitely think it is a tricky balance, but UCD have helped me a huge amount. And yeah, I definitely don't think I would have been able to have done it without the support of the college, for sure.
And there's so many studies these days as well saying that actually having something a little bit different outside of your sport really helps you when it comes to your sport, because you do have that space away from it. You have the time to, whether you're consciously thinking about it or subconsciously thinking about it, just process everything that's happened to you, and I suppose either grieve it or enjoy it, depending on what the situation is in a given time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely agree with that. And my two oldest brothers, actually, they studied engineering. So I always could see that they were able to do it. And I think I was very grateful to have that. I was able to see that they were able to balance the two of them. So it was really nice to kind of see somebody else do it. And then I just followed along.
Mm. And what is it that you're studying?
I do business international. So a major in business and a minor in Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
No, don't ask me to speak any Spanish now.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I was like, how good is your Spanish?
On my third year, so I'm in fourth year at the moment, and my third year was an Erasmus year abroad. And our world championships in 2026 were supposed to be in Valencia. So I picked to go to Valencia for my Erasmus year. But unfortunately, because of the floods, they cancelled it. They cancelled the world championships in Valencia, and they moved it actually to Dunleary in Ireland, which is pretty cool. But I had an amazing Erasmus year. Like, just, it turned into a massive training camp for me, because obviously the weather there is incredible. So I was out in the bike every day, sailing every day, gymming every day, fitting in a bit of Spanish in university.
Around. I was going to say, any other person that's ever been on Erasmus definitely wasn't like, I was gymming every day, yeah. I was on the bike every day.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't the usual Erasmus experience. And I chose to stay with a Spanish family as well, which kind of, I put myself outside of my comfort zone for sure. But yeah, my Spanish definitely improved.
It's probably handy as well, having a language, considering how much you travel and all the different places that you're in. Because it can be a lonely experience, I imagine.
Yeah.
If you don't have that sort of accessibility, something like a different language, obviously it's not going to apply to every place you go. But
yeah, no, 100%. Even like now on Monday, I leave for a training camp, a winter training camp. So I'm 3 weeks in Gran Canaria, and then I'm home for a week, and then 3 weeks in Lanzarote. So obviously Spanish speaking.
It's a tough
life. It is tough. It is actually going to be very tough. But yeah, no, I get to use my Spanish, so it's nice to have it.
Yeah. And what do those training camps look like? Because I know I joke there is a tough life. I understand that these training camps are incredibly difficult when you're actually in them. You know, it's not, you're not going on holiday to these places.
No, definitely not. So we pick locations that have very consistent at the moment, we're looking for strong winds and big waves because our World Championships in 2027 are in Brazil, and it's kind of known that it's strong winds and big waves, and that's the first Olympic qualifier to qualify your nation in Brazil. So that's like a peak event for us. So we're trying to, obviously Brazil is quite far away, so we're trying to look for locations in Europe that are very similar to those conditions in Brazil, and that would be Gran Canaria and Lanzarote. And it's very kind of consistent, I wouldn't say boring conditions at all, because it's not boring at all, but it's just the same conditions over and over again. And you just train really hard, 3 hours a day, you know, really intense, high intensity sessions. And yeah, you just train and get an edge on the competition, and you drill it in every single day for 3 weeks.
Well, good luck with that.
Not to make it sound brutal or anything. It is. It's lovely.
I know, but like you have to go through these things, and if you do want to medal in LA, you know, these are all just stepping stones to that.
Yeah, which... no, it's incredible. I love it. I honestly love the training camps. They're really intense. There, you learn so much. You know, I train with the British Olympic team at the moment, and they're the girls who I've grown up sailing with. So it's always we have a really competitive environment out in the water, but when we come back in, we're all really good friends. So it's a really nice environment for sure.
And what's the link there training with the British Olympic team? Is that normal enough within sailing?
Yeah, so a lot of, like, obviously at the moment I'm the only female sailor. There's some young girls coming up, which is great to see, but we had to pair with a country, which is pretty normal in sailing, to pair with international training partners just to get a variety of different skills. So their skill set would be, you know, there's four girls on their team and they all have different skills, and then plus me, you know, we basically have, you know, incredible skills as a team together. So it's really cool to be able to train with them for sure, and something I'm massively grateful for. So I was just off the back of a training camp with them in the UK just there.
Amazing. Well, Eve, best of luck over the
Thank
next
you very
couple of
much.
Years. As I said earlier, I do hope we are sitting here in a couple of years' time talking
I
about
hope so.
A medal in LA. But in the meantime, all the best success. And as we said at the start of this chat, Eve is up for the Sport Ireland Rising Star Award at the Olympic Sport Awards this year, which is very exciting. You're up against John Short and Patsy Joyce. And if you want to vote for that, you can check it out on Off the Ball socials, or go to olympicsportawards.com and you will find all the nominees for all the awards. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Off the Ball Daily.